you know, 500 metres from the Richmond Bridge, the town sort of finishes and we start.
So how big's the farm?
It's 1,000 hectares, which is only pretty small in the scheme of things these days, but it does the job for us to make a living.
A lot of history here too.
Yeah, it's one of the original land grants, 1823, so it's basically as old as the town.
You took me for a tour of the farm, and it's just gobsmacking, the views and the different things you do here. Just tell us what you do. It's mainly sheep, isn't it?
Well, we're mainly a sheep farm. Historically, a sheep farm in my time. 3,000 ewes, a little bit of cropping, and our big change at the moment is moving into viticulture.
First time?
Yeah, first time. 9 hectares going in at the moment. Obviously, it's a big thing in the Coal Valley at the moment. It's a really exciting space to be in, actually.
I've got to ask you this question. Did you get vineyard envy from what's happening around?
There's a bit going on next door, either side of me, so it's probably hard not to when you sit on the hill and look over at Jance, what they've done, and likewise with what Fogarty are doing, but I'll certainly won't be trying to keep up with the Joneses.
So you've had some help to construct the vineyard. It's all ready to be planted.
It's going to get planted in the next couple of weeks. We've had some assistance, mostly with the lead of Marty Smith, and his direction's been second to none. We've probably got some room to expand. We've definitely got some room to expand, but we'll stick with the 9 for the time being and sink our teeth into that and see where we go down the track.
How many hectares across the road?
Oh, I think they've got, this year they'll be up to 80, with another 20 or so to come following that. So 100 hectares next door, and they've also got 100 hectares 15 minutes down the road as well. So they're up to a couple of hundred. Like I said, we won't try and keep up with the Joneses.
One-tenth of them so far. Is the reason you're doing it because of the availability of the water?
Oh, no. The reason we're doing it is to move into the agritourism space for us. We're probably a little bit too small as a vineyard, just as a fruit sales vineyard, so certainly our direction and push is going to be agritourism. There's some really big opportunities, especially with the way Tassie's placed as we come out of COVID. People will start coming back. We've now got a reputation that is top-notch, so now everyone wants to come here, and we're a pretty good bunch of people. So I think there's going to be some enormous upside to the reputation we've been able to create through the last couple of years, and especially coming out of COVID.
Now, you're putting a cellar door in as well.
We certainly intend to have a cellar door within the next few years.
Might take that long with the building problems at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's obviously a pretty competitive space at the moment, the building game. So hopefully we can find someone to knock something up for us.
And what are you going to call, what's the label?
Richmond Park Estate, which is the name of the property, 200-year-old farm and name. So pretty much an obvious one for us.
There's a bit of a story behind that as well, isn't there? A bit of a legal battle.
Yeah, we had a bit of a lengthy trademark battle to get Richmond Park, which has dragged on for a couple of years and been a bit daunting for my wife and I. But thankfully, last week, we finally won that legal battle, and we can actually move forward and start calling ourselves Richmond Park.
So what was the battle? Who did you...
A fairly big international liquor company. It was a bit of a David and Goliath story. Yeah, it was fairly daunting to take them on, but we did, and we came out the other side now, and yeah, it's been a long roller coaster.
William Eddington, our guest on the Country Hour at Richmond Park, just outside of Richmond. Very historic property, and there are some remains of the original homestead, and there's a special sculpture too from that. Tell us that story.
Yeah, it's really exciting. A local sculptor, local Richmond guy, lives at Copping now, Matt Sloan, has done up a big ram for us from scrap steel, and he came and took some stuff from the old house, the old oven door and toilet cistern and some other bits and pieces from around the farm, and he's created what is actually a magnificent piece, and that'll be the centrepiece for the cellar door and vineyard, and certainly we'd like to try and incorporate a few more sculptures and try and actually have a little sculpture trail that people can come and walk, and we can engage some more, hopefully, Tasmanian artists to display their works here.
Yeah, and you incorporate the sheep into that too, and it's lambing season, and gee whiz, they're looking great.
Yeah, well, the sheep are always going to be a big focus for us here. The vineyard will certainly never take away from the sheep. They've been our bread and butter for a long time, and Yeah, but they do look good this year. We've had a pretty good run at it. The lambs are starting to get to that old enough to be frolicking about and nice and healthy. And, yeah, it's they do look good, don't they?
How many you got?
Well, 3,000 ewes. So hopefully somewhere around 3,000 lambs if things go the way we want them to.
Yeah, and the price of the meat is just gobsmacking, isn't it?
Certainly right at the moment. Obviously, when the new spring lambs come to market, I suppose it'll come back a little bit, but things are looking pretty rosy, particularly for mutton as well. So don't have to go back too far where we were, you know, selling our excess ewes and things for $20 or $30, and now we're closer to $150. So the mutton, I think, as much as lamb, is the one that's really handy.
Almost paying people to take them off your hands.
Well, there was a time. I know Dad was certainly getting sheep given to him back in the day when there was an oversupply. So I think he was paying a dollar a head. But, yeah, I don't think there'd be too many sheep for a dollar a head these days.
Dad bought the property how long ago?
Dad bought the place in 1986. So we've been here for 35 years. I was 6 at the time. He was next door on a property called Macclesfield, which is where Jant's Vineyard is now and the new big winery.
So you moved next door?
Moved next door, basically. He saw the next door came up for sale and grabbed the opportunity. So,
can I ask you what the price was back then?
Dad bought Richmond Park for $800,000 in 1986, which I think was a bit of a stretch for him at the time.
That's a lot of money back then.
I think it was a fair bit of money back then, but it's obviously in a pretty prominent location. The opportunity was there, so he grabbed it.
Pretty good decision now, isn't it, with the price of farmland?
Yeah, certainly a good decision now with, not only the price of farmland, well, particularly the price of good Coal River, Coal Valley viticultural country. So
yeah,
we've got a fair bit of room for expansion there and fairly sought after, so a good decision. Planting looks like it'll be a couple of weeks' time, 2 or 3 weeks' time, for our first Shiraz, Pinot and Chardonnay.
Pretty excited about the Shiraz.
Yeah, I think cool climate Shiraz is going to be a big mover in Tassie. There's a lot of other vineyards putting a bit in.
While we were driving around looking at this fabulous property, a lot of cropping. What sort of crops are you doing?
Basically, we'll do peas and some wheat and barley. We'll sell the wheat and barley off to some of the local dairies and put a bit in the silo for ourselves. We feed a fair bit of grain out to sheep, so it gives us a bit of protection because it can get pretty dry down here, and it's good to give them a little bit of extra anyway, even in good season.